In today's gospel, Jesus gives us foundational principles for living peacefully amidst the world's chaos. Recognize that Jesus' Holy Spirit dwells and remains in us always. Recognize that Jesus' peace is real, deep-seated, and unattainable from any other source. Reject our own tendency to be fearful and troubled, and invite the Spirit to teach us everything we need to know, which is a lot. These are great principles, but the chaos around us has a power all its own. So how to make Jesus' peace our own with all the chaos outside? To start, I ask you to name in silence a few of the blessings of your individual lives. Then, let's acknowledge three recent events that I think are blessings for all of us. On May 8th, the Pope issued instructions to all archbishops worldwide on responding to allegations of abuse. In an article on page 2 of today's bulletin, I outline these instructions. You can read the whole document on our website. These instructions respond in many, but not all ways, to our hopes for reform, hopes that went unaddressed at the February bishops' meeting in Rome. Please read these instructions, absorb them, and email them to all your friends. They are good news. Second, last Tuesday, Wilton Gregory became our new archbishop. He seems to be a gentle, faith-filled man, experienced in matters relating to sexual abuse, and so a source of new hope. So we have a new archbishop with new marching orders from his big boss. Third, on Friday, the Pope appointed 4 women to the secretariat of the Synod of Bishops in Rome, which under Francis, the British journal The Tablet says, quote, has become a crucial vehicle for setting the church's pastoral agenda, end quote. So, having named these blessings, let's recall Ignatius's claim that God works actively for us in our lives. The above good news seems to me to be God at work for us and for the church. So let's thank God. The next step in our reflection is to ask God for help as we face the remainder of today and tomorrow. This help might be necessary in small or large ways, as we engage family matters, professional or career matters, financial concerns, really anything we must do today and tomorrow that pose us difficulty or challenge because the world's chaos is intruding on us. To keep our reflections this morning grounded in reality, I invite you to name silently your needs for help today and tomorrow. As we recognize our needs, we can pray for the Spirit's wisdom to know when and how to act in the face of chaos. Knowing when and how to act includes knowing when we have done all we can do, and so knowing when to cease to act to preserve our interior peacefulness. Asking God to help us preserve our interior peacefulness in the presence of the world's chaos is key to the balancing act to live out Jesus' promise in today's gospel. And we are sustained not only by the peace God gives us, but also by the recognition of what God has already done for us. So we ask for the Spirit's wisdom and help in personal short-term matters within our control, and we can ask for help in long-term matters outside our immediate control. We pray in the knowledge that problems outside our control are God's problems, not ours. And we are calling on God to act. For starters, we can pray for Archbishop Gregory and all the bishops as they engage the Pope's instructions. Francis has limited ability to monitor bishops worldwide, so I feel some anxiety about how seriously all bishops will take these new instructions. So you and I must pray. Then we can pray that all bishops and clergy will come to smell like their sheep. Perhaps our new archbishop will take some steps to address the theological and historical traditions that sustain clerical culture. But we must pray. We might also pray that the hierarchy restore what they have lost, namely their credibility and trustworthiness as advocates for Catholic Christian moral values in the public square. But we must pray. We might also pray that the Spirit will help change the hearts of the Pope's hierarchical antagonists. What do those who oppose Francis seem to want? My quick answer is more of what John Paul II and Benedict offered, namely theological orthodoxy before compassion and justice, hierarchy displacing the people of God, and blaming secular culture for sexual abuse, diminishing mass attendance, and fewer priests, brothers, and nuns, without also acknowledging their own culpability. And so we must pray. We must pray above all for Jesus' Holy Spirit of encouragement, consolation, and truth within us. This recognition might register as a feeling, but more likely as a wordless recognition that we are not alone in the chaos, that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. This prayer must be our ultimate protection against the angst, discouragement, and even despair that confronting chaos brings. At some point, we must realize we have done all we can to confront chaos, and that the divine will seems ready to permit the chaos to continue. For people of goodwill, and for high-achieving people, this can feel like a defeat and an affront. At this point, we can only pray in gratitude for what is good, including what we have accomplished, to offer ourselves anew to his divine service, and to say, as we will say later in this Mass, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." To give us this day our daily bread, Jesus gives himself in the Eucharist to us in this Mass. His Spirit dwelling in us enlivens us at every moment of our lives with God's love for us and hope for the world. At some point, that's all there is. And our faith asks us to realize that at some point, that is enough.